This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. Into left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So the biggest story in Patriot Nation heading into week one, the opener against the Raiders, Sunday at Gillette Stadium, is no longer just about Christian Gonzalez and his health. In fact, I think everybody's kind of resigned to the fact that that's no longer a story because he's probably not going to play on Sunday. So we move on to story B, and that would be the debut of Stephon Diggs. But before we can get to Stephon Diggs' debut, first time we'll see him in any sort of game action because he didn't play in the preseason, we have a soap opera situation that has developed between the wide receiver, who may be a diva, who may be whatever you want to call him based on his track record and things that have gone on in Buffalo and Minnesota and his history with quarterbacks and bitching for the ball. But he's new here, so fresh beginning here in New England. But he's got a little thing going on with Phil Perry, with Tom Curran, with NBC Sports Boston. So we need to revisit where this all started. And I think it started when Phil Perry was in Minnesota, and this was in the midst of some weirdness with Diggs' usage and stories going on about him. And Phil Perry said this. Phil Perry said this. Not that.
It's interesting, Tom, because, you know, there are little signs that he's just becoming a bit of a pain in the posterior. I asked Mike Vrabel about those very comments that we just played this morning. And he said, did you really believe that, Phil? Did you really believe those comments? I mean, he's out here. He's doing everything. You seem like a smart guy. Did you really believe that? I said, yeah. I mean, he says he might not be ready for week one. Do you have any doubt? And he said, I don't know. We'll find out when we get to week one. But he's out here and he's doing everything. I mean, for Mike Vrabel to sort of have to be his public relations assistant and tell us what he really meant in his commentary to a member of the national media, I don't know if that irks Mike Vrabel or if he's just looking to go back and forth with somebody in the media. But between down comments, between his what I would call sort of quiet performance this camp, Vrabel's comments this morning, and the fact that, Tom, he is not planning, is my understanding, on talking to the local media until he plays in a game, so maybe that'll happen this Saturday, I have my doubts, it all sort of adds up to there's a lot going on with this guy for a guy who doesn't look like a number one receiver.
And he also said he's being a bit of a pain in the posterior. And that is the issue that sort of seemingly irked Diggs, who he actually spoke before he played in his first game because he spoke yesterday. He held a press conference down at Gillette Stadium. What I am now being told is a sort of one-off situation. This is a little side note here. For many years, the press conferences were basically the head coach and the quarterback. Everybody else was in the locker room. You'd go in there. You'd stand by Ted Johnson's locker. You'd talk to him. In recent years in New England, we've evolved where, like, more captains were talking. There'd be three or four press conferences.
It's been that way for a while.
And it isn't anymore. From what I've been told, they're going back to the old-fashioned way of the there'll be a Drake May press conference. There'll be a Mike Vrabel press conference. The other media access will be in the locker room. So this was sort of a one-off Steph Diggs press conference yesterday, in which he wanted to get some things off his chest. And we need to allow him, give him the pulpit or the opportunity to do that. So this is what Steph Diggs led off with yesterday in his press conference.
Before we start, you mind if I have a little conversation with y'all? Obviously, I haven't talked much in camp, but I do kind of want to address some things. Obviously, I look at the media as a whole, and I kind of want to approach this thing as professional as possible. So I had some conversations and I had some interviews throughout camp, and some of my words are misconstrued and, you know, kind of, I don't know, me talking to another individual, I don't know, it was kind of regurgitated in another way. So, or taken out of context. And I think I was referred to as a pain in the ass, you know, and I hate pain in the posterior, but I'm going to say exactly what it really was. Obviously, I don't want to come across as that. And I'm going to say this, I want to be very clear. I'm an adult. I apologize. I'm not up here to ego trip. I'm not up here to rub anybody the wrong way or say anything for clickbait. If I rub anybody the wrong way, I really want to apologize. Moving forward, obviously, we have a media to player relationship. As professional as I can be, I want to make myself available each and every week. Obviously, don't want to make this thing abrasive. It can be as seamless as possible, and it also can be abrasive. And I don't want to get up here and not answer questions or make anybody feel uncomfortable. You know, it's a world we live in. Like, if somebody calls you an ass, you know, you start acting like one. No, you don't. I won't. That's not me. So I want to apologize if I ever came across as ass to anybody. But moving forward, I kind of want to get things off on the right foot. We're going to spend a lot of time together, and I kind of want to give a obviously a good interview if I'm asked questions. I don't want to get up here giving you the vanilla answers or no answer at all. So moving forward, hopefully this relationship can grow and we build on something special. You know, obviously it's going to be a long season, so we're going to spend a lot of time together.
So what Stephon Diggs and Phil Perry were referencing was the Diana Rossini podcast. And we talked about it. We played it on here at the time when she asked him if he was going to play and he was like coy, didn't really answer. Remember he had that word, I believe he said, the coaches aren't really excited about it. I'm not really excited about it. And we were like, do you know what excited means? Did you misuse a word there? So this all came from that. Was he being playful? Was he being a pain in the butt? Was whatever that was? Well, he wants to set the record straight, Ted Johnson, and tell everybody he's not an a-hole. And he doesn't want to have to be an a-hole. And he doesn't want to have to be adversarial with the media. Were you surprised at this approach that he took yesterday or that this even happened?
Very surprised. Very surprised. Because I think I'm not sure clear on the, on if it was him personally that wanted to get something off his chest or that it was Vrabel, the head coach, that wanted him to go say those things so that he could, you know, make a point to Steph Diggs. I mean, was the impetus really Steph Diggs or was it Mike pushing him to go say that? I almost think it's the latter. I feel like my feeling is, from what I heard from Steph Diggs, is that there was a head coach that didn't like what he said to Diana Rossini. Phil Perry talked about it being a pain in the ass, and he referenced that. But I think it was more Vrabel not being happy with what Diggs did, and so he made him go address something that happened 3 weeks ago, which is kind of an odd time to – it's happened 3 weeks ago. No one's talking about it. No one's thinking about it. Why bring it up now? Now we're talking about it. Now it's something going into the season. Do you really want to be talking about this? It makes me wonder if Mike is listening to things. He's not ignoring the noise. He's got ears in the cornfield about things that I didn't think maybe he would care about. The fact that this is on his radar, the fact that I think that he made Steph Diggs go address this, to me, is strange and a little bit surprising. So I found this whole thing to be unusual and a little bit concerning because I kind of was hoping that maybe that the noise wasn't going to be a factor when it came to Mike being the head coach here. But maybe it is something that is bothering him.
Fitzy, along those lines, does this tie in any way to the rats comment? Like, is this Mike Vrabel with some attention being paid to things that are not necessarily ideal, not necessarily directly related to football and prepping for the Raiders?
I don't think this has to do with the rats comment. I just think that this can be, depending on how Sunday goes. Again, I think everything ties back into all roads lead to Sunday. Patriots win Sunday, look like a buttoned up, competent, well-practiced, well-oiled professional operation. Guess what? They went through their 2 weeks of turmoil, tumult, and turnover. And then they found a way through it together as a team, united, bonded, forged in Foxborough. And then all is good. If they go out Sunday, they look like the inferior team to the Raiders. Pete Carroll has that working and clicking like a machine. Pats get carved up, lose by 3, 6, 10 points and have a poor showing. Then it's going to be, man, it started with the rats and now it's gone on for like 3 weeks. What's going on with this team?
So, and Ted, I did say earlier, part of me thinks, couldn't you have just handled this behind the scenes, right? Like, you talk to Phil and whoever, have a little powwow at a locker in the locker room. But then the other part of me says, well, Phil calling him a pain in the posterior was on a public platform, right? That happened publicly. So therefore, Diggs has the right to get his side out there publicly on as big a platform he can, and that would be a press conference at Gillette Stadium with the entire media involved. Did you think that was weird or?
Because it feels a little bit like grandstanding.
A little bit.
And that's, I'm not a big fan of that. It's a diva quality. And so there's a little bit of that with this too. It's not only do I think it was Mike pushing him and suggesting to me that he's more concerned about the outside noise than I maybe anticipated, but it also reflects, I think, a player that wants to be topical, that wants to be in the news. This is the drip, drip, drip type of stuff that I think can wear on you by having a guy like Steph Diggs on your team. He might not have one big incident that justifies getting rid of him, but it's just going to be like little things throughout the year that you got to address and spend energy on that you would rather be spending energy on somewhere else.
Yes, it is.
I almost felt like it was Diggs putting the media on notice. As we're going to hear coming up in the drive, Phil Perry had already spoke and apologized to Diggs. So Diggs did not need to go out there and name check both Curran and Diggs, mm-hmm. I mean, and Perry, excuse me, and say, they called me an a-hole. And then there's that, he goes, if you want it to be abrasive, it can be abrasive.
There was a little threat there.
A little, and it's self-serving.
Good for him. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, if he's such this magnanimous guy and, you know, I just want to have a good relationship with the media, then you didn't need to name call Perry right. and Curran, especially when, like I said, we're about to hear, it was already talked about off air between the two people.
Right. He made it clear, just because I'm called an a-hole, that's not going to push me to be an a-hole. But this can get abrasive if we need it to be. I can get abrasive. I can go there. I can become the a-hole if you want to treat me like the a-hole. But you referenced it, Stiz. Phil Perry last night on NBC Sports Boston sort of detailed his side of things.
I did actually get a chance to talk to him briefly in the locker room Friday, because I shouldn't have said that. You know, it's that sort of speculative. Actually, I've heard from people in the building almost as soon as I had finished that episode of Quick Slants that he's been fine. He's been fine behind the scenes. They've liked him during camp. He's met all their expectations during camp. So that was purely speculative on my part. It's usually a lane I'm not residing in. So I did want to apologize to him, and I made several efforts to do that. I talked to him Friday. I know you're looking at me sideways. You wouldn't apologize. That's fine.
It's just weird. Hmm. It's weird that Phil feels the need that he's got to apologize. I mean, Tom Curran was apologizing in the press conference.
Oh, yeah.
And that was partly because I almost don't blame him because of the way Diggs kind of approached it. Again, I think to some degree grandstanding, and so they felt probably like they needed to rebut. If he's going to be saying this publicly, then I need to apologize publicly so right. I don't look like the a-hole. So I think it's just kind of a weird thing that I don't think needed to be addressed, but here we are.
I'd like to ask a larger question. Does this possibly give off any bad sort of there's the Boston media making a show of itself or making it the story kind of vibes to any people outside of Boston that would come here, agents, managers, etc.?
No.
I mean, the showman here is Diggs, in my opinion. Like, we do jobs. We talk every day for 4 hours. Phil Perry does podcasts and TV. He did a job. Did he say something maybe he regrets or was less than perfectly stated? Okay, but that happens when you talk. Like, he didn't grandstand. The grandstanding here would be Diggs.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Diggs saying what he said yesterday in the press conference was at his request or at Vrabel's request?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I'd love to know the answer to that, because that would tell me a lot. If I
think
knew.
Diggs.
Okay.
My gut tells me Diggs.
Then it's grandstanding.
Yeah. My gut tells me that it's Diggs. And he was a little disingenuous there when he said something about available every week. You weren't. You haven't been. In fact, had you been available every week, I think a lot of this would have been cleared up, because these questions would have been asked by Tom Curran and Phil Perry and others.
Let me ask you this. Do you think if he wanted to do that yesterday, do you think Vrabel knew what he was going to talk about?
Yes. Yeah. I do think this must have been run up some flagpole.
Okay.
Stacey James to Vrabel, media relations to football.
Interesting.
Stretch. I do think the way this came off, this was a performance to some degree. He wanted a certain message out there. He wanted to handle things a certain way. I feel like that would have been run up a flagpole by somebody.
And yes, don't you think it's kind of him being like, hey, I'm listening.
Oh, absolutely.
So just know, I hear what you're saying.
What you say, you call me a pain in the butt. You call me an a-hole. I know you called me an a-hole. I pay attention to everything. Absolutely. We did speak with Tom Curran earlier, who was part of this, was sort of called out by Diggs as part of this. And we asked Tom to sort of put it in his perspective for us. Where we stand, how did this all come about, and how do you feel like things stand right now?
I think they stand in a really good spot. He articulated that, hey, if you guys perceive me as a pain in the ass, and I think that in saying so, he was like kind of mentioning, what have I done necessarily to represent myself as such? But if you feel as if I have been that, I apologize, which certainly opened the door for a good discussion as to, hey, we saw this really occurred around the Diana Rossini conversation with Diggs, where he intimated that he wouldn't be available for week one. Mm-hmm. And that followed soon after Todd Downing, the wide receivers coach, kind of saying that Diggs needed to be in the right place and engaged and understanding the places he needed to be. That coupled with maybe a little less production from Diggs during camp, and that might have been related to the knee, certainly likely that it was. But all those things and his history lead you to say, is he playing in a game here a little bit with his availability in week one? Is there a little bit of rancor here? So I just said, is there some smoke here? Is this going to be an issue? And Phil said, you know, if you look at it, the totality of it, it could be. So that's where that was. But I don't blame him in the least for using his public platform to address it if we're going to use our public platform to speculate on it. So I think it's in a good spot. So that's the background. That's where we stand. And, you know, until further notice, and I doubt, not anticipating that it will be, but until further notice, Stephon Diggs is ready to go and be a contributing member of the team, and there should be no drama.
So I feel like everybody's over-communicating. I think we've reached the point. Diggs said too much. Curran said too much. Perry said too much. Talk. Let's move on.
But Perry and Curran, the only reason it sounds like they talk too much is because they were forced to.
Correct.
By Diggs bringing up something that happened 3 weeks ago that everyone had forgotten about.
Well, and he could have talked about it then if he talked at all. That's my side of things. If you wanted to talk about it, you should have talked about it. That's the one aspect here that kind of rubs me the wrong way. The other thing is we have to bring into account his history. He's been a pain in the butt in Minnesota. He's been a pain in the butt in Buffalo. And fair or not, people bring that to the conversation. They view you through that lens of what you've done in the past as well.
He does not see it that way.
No.
I got my hand caught in the cookie jar all those times. Mm-hmm. And now, and, you know, before I've even done it, you want to...
And your cookies are missing and you want to know where the cookies are? Yeah. You're looking at me.
How dare you blame me? So that's kind of the attitude he's got, which makes me a little nervous because settle down a little bit.
Dan Ball. You have some information on the University of North Carolina?
Yeah, new story from Doug Kide in the Boston Herald, and I'm quoting this directly. This was published 3 minutes ago.
Ooh.
Bill Belichick has banned Patriot scouts from attending UNC practices to scout their players, multiple sources confirmed to the Herald. Quote, "Why would we let them in our home after how he's been treated since he left? We will help our players, but being treated fairly is a two-way street," end quote, a UNC athletic source told the Herald via text. Patriot scouts can still receive film on UNC players and call their staff for information on prospects.
Wow, that's a harsh quote from Mike Lombardi to the Herald there.
Oh.
I mean, who else could it be?
I mean, it's definitely Lombardi. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I know reporters don't like when we speculate on their sources when they're not named.
Okay, but this is flies in the face of what you thought they would do, which was deny, deny, deny. They're basically saying, yeah, no, this is...
Yeah, I'm stunned. They handle things more poorly than even I expected.
They doubled they doubled down on the dickery. That's incredible.
That? Jordan PR, baby.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. The issue of banning them is one thing. This response to it is dumber than I even thought they could be. That is unbelievable.
Doesn't even care. They had all that time to think about their statement, what they were going to say, and that was what they came up with.
That's what they came up with, and that was allowed to be expressed.
Yeah.
Like, that was put out there. That's Ted, you could not be more right. I don't know how you can send your child to a coach who just proved it's personal.
Yep.
This isn't about what's best for your child. When my personal issues get in the way, I'm going to choose my personal issues over your son, over his future, over his opportunities.
This isn't new. Just so people know, this is not a new thing with Bill.
I would argue that's a fireable offense for the University of North Carolina. He just proved that he's not thinking what's in the best interest of their student athletes. And I believe down there, they still call them student athletes. They want them to be student athletes. We're molding not just football players, but young men and all that.
They market themselves as a 33rd team.
That is unbelievable.
Wow.
That quote came to the light of day. I apologize. I was wrong. I thought UNC was better than that and smarter than that. They're not. They're dumber than what I even could have even expected. That's an unbelievable quote right there. 617-779.
Blame Bill Belichick. Well,
Bill Belichick is UNC football right now.
I don't think he ran it by UNC before they said that statement.
They got in bed with him.
They did.
So that's UNC football. He is UNC football right now, correct? He's the face, the voice, the everything of that program.
Chapel Bill.
And that's your guy, Stiz, right there. Stiz, you want to send your son to UNC where he's eliminating job opportunities for your son right out the gate?
You can still get tape if you want tape.
Stiz, the son that you know about.